In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How are you named? Ranger, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, eight souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea. Yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Ranger according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him which has been inherited from Adam, in which he himself has committed sins, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out, from this time forth, and even forevermore.
Amen.
Right, questions? Do you renounce the devil, all his works, and all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? And do you desire to be baptized? Right. Ranger, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ, and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Ranger the new birth in holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And peace be with you. I call to God and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. My voice, he redeems my soul in safety. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading is found in Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? If someone turns away, does he not return? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have paid attention and listened, but they have not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, what have I done? Everyone turns to his own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her time. And the turtle dove, swallow, and crane keep the time of their coming. But my people know not the rules of the Lord. How can you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes have made it into a lie. The wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to conquerors, because from the least to the greatest, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. the prophet, from prophet to priest. Everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among the fallen. When I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel reading presents Jesus' sorrow over those who did not receive him. Jesus laments over the fate of Jerusalem, and his sorrowful statements come just hours after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we commemorate on Palm Sunday. Earlier that day, Jesus' presence was lauded by many, as the gospel writer Luke tells us, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, that's going into Jerusalem, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and to praise God
with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." That's what we get to hear every year at Palm Sunday. But that praise on that day was contrasted by another reaction being given in that city. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They didn't want any of that praise to be uttered to Jesus. And so that during Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, there was great disagreement among the people over him. There even seems to be fault lines based upon where the people were from. Fault lines that even go past our current red state, blue state divide in our secular politics. There were the people from Galilee making the Passover pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and they were the ones in favor of Jesus. They are the ones who are uttering all that praise about him and recognizing him as the Lord's Christ. But then there were the people who resided in Jerusalem, including the high priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were most opposed to Jesus. If we keep that in mind, then Jesus' lament over Jerusalem is actually quite readily understandable when he says, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." In this lament, Jesus foretells what would happen to the city of Jerusalem about four decades later. The Roman legions would come and surround the city. They would besiege the city for 2 whole years, and then bring destruction on the city. Even the temple itself would be torn down, leaving not one stone atop another. So, what causes such a drastic event that Jesus foretells? Well, that drastic event is an expression of divine wrath, God's wrath, being poured out on the inhabitants of the city. But why would such wrath be poured out on them? Well, when we hear Jesus' words, we find out it's because they did not receive the Lord's Christ. Their rejection of Jesus brings such an end to them. That's what the conclusion of Jesus' statement identifies, that rationale. It is happening because you did not know the time of your visitation, which is a reference to the people rejecting his presence, Jesus' presence, and his identity as the Lord's promised Christ. What is behind the entire incident is that Jesus is coming to the city that was supposed to be dedicated to the Lord and the Lord's ways. But when he comes there, when he visits it, what is the welcome that he receives? Remember, it's the pilgrim crowd. It's the ones who are coming into the city from elsewhere who are hailing Jesus as the King who comes in the Lord's name. while it was the leaders of Jerusalem who wanted all those voices hushed, wanting Jesus to rebuke them. Even more so, we got a description from the gospel writer about the actions of those same leaders when Jesus was busy revealing the Lord's truth in their city. See, the gospel writer Luke doesn't just tell us about what happened on that Palm Sunday. He also said that Jesus was teaching daily in the temple during that week. But what did he say about the leaders? The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy Jesus. But they couldn't find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. In that teaching that Jesus was doing in the temple, as well as the teaching that Jesus had done all the way up in Galilee and in Samaria and Syria and the surrounding regions, Jesus was revealing the things that make for peace. He was making known the way of salvation that the Lord had established and the Lord was fulfilling. He was telling the people how the Lord's promises were being completed in him. He was giving them the keys to the kingdom of God. He was speaking about how sinners who had violated the Lord's law actually had a way to be made right with him, and not by anything that they did. They didn't have to make it up to God. They didn't have to pay God off. All of this would benefit the people who were hanging on his words, but it would be of no benefit, no use to those who were seeking to destroy Jesus. But such a disconnect between the Lord's will and the desires of Jerusalem's leaders, well, that was not a new thing in their history. As we heard in today's Old Testament reading, centuries earlier, preachers had previously come to that city and called the people to repentance. You might recall what the prophet Jeremiah said to the people of Jerusalem. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? When one turns away, does he not return? Well, why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I've paid attention and listened, but they have not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, what have I done? Everyone turns to his own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her time, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane keep the time of their coming. But my people know not the just decrees of the Lord. Well, why was that the case? Why was that the reason that those things were happening in Jerusalem? It's because the people who were given the roles to teach weren't doing it. Those who were supposed to convey the Lord's words were conveying other things. Those who were directing the people to be devoted to the Lord were saying, well, you could be devoted to just anything. Just be spiritual. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But what was the outcome for those past residents? Well, in history, the Lord sent armies, Babylonian armies, Nebuchadnezzar's armies, if you remember Sunday school, armies to destroy Jerusalem as an expression of his divine wrath. And he said, the wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to conquerors, because from the least to the greatest, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They've healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nah, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush, even. Therefore, they shall fall among the fallen. When I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. See, the city didn't know the time of its visitation back then, when the Lord sent his prophets, just as they didn't recognize the time of its visitation when the Lord's Christ, Jesus, appeared centuries later. But these scripture readings are more than just history lessons. They are incidents that stand as a warning for us. Because the Lord does not enjoy expressing his divine wrath against individuals. It is not his desired end. It's not what he wants. Remember Jesus' own actions. Before he talked about the destruction that would come to Jerusalem, what is it that he did over that city? So when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. And he expressed his desire for what he wanted to happen. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. Jesus displays great sorrow. He weeps because he knows what would take place for those who sought to destroy him. That even as the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people would conspire to have Jesus arrested and condemned and crucified, put to death in the most torturous way possible, that was actually how Jesus was carrying out his work to atone for the sin and guilt of mankind. And yet, those who were involved in that plot would not benefit from the outcome of his work. What they thought would destroy Jesus was actually the way that reconciliation and redemption would be accomplished, that peace between God and man was being made, but it would ultimately not be a gift for them. And our hearts and minds should be pricked when we hear such things. We should be attentive to what the Lord says, which includes listening to his just decrees, and listening to his word of truth, and listening to the descriptions of the way of life that he establishes. The Lord still has those declarations brought to our attention so that we can be made aware of them. By his grace and mercy, the voices of his teachers have not been silenced. And not only that, we actually have the content of his message in written form that we can read on our own. We can even now stream webcasts or download podcasts to listen to that teaching. Just pull up the phone. You got it. The Lord's standards of justice and righteousness are publicly taught, but what is also even more true is that that isn't the only message that the Lord brings to us. Yeah, certainly his moral teaching is spoken, and we are to heed it. But the main theme, the main message of his declarations to humanity is how he brings people into his kingdom. There's instruction about sin and instruction about guilt, but there's even more proclamation about how redemption and reconciliation takes place. The presentation of Christ's sacrificial death and his glorious resurrection is done so that people might benefit from the saving work that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. And it's when that message of the Lord comes to our hearing, comes to our attention, that's the time of our visitation. Which is a truth that the Apostle Paul echoes when he writes to the Christians who lived in the Greek city of Corinth. Every year during Lent, we hear this very important statement that the apostle makes. Working together with Christ, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's an urgency to that message, which stems from Jesus' own words. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But recall what the Lord Jesus said about the people of Jerusalem who did not receive that message, who actually refused to receive that message. Now they are hidden from your eyes. That's a fate that Jesus does not want to befall any of us. Just like he actually did not want it to happen to those people in Jerusalem. And so the Lord brings the time of our visitation to our attention. He places his salvation in our presence, in our own hearing. The message of the gospel is put in front of us again and again and again and again. It's like on loop. We have the opportunity to receive it again and again and again. To receive it anew. Just like our newest member of the kingdom of God, just as Ranger, who was baptized, received it for the first time. But it's on loop for him too. The desired outcome that the Lord has is that we would know on this day the things that make for peace between him and us. Which is what the preaching of Jesus' words and works reveals. That preaching discloses the Lord's favorable character toward us. It's why we could say about God in today's collect, "Oh God, you declare your almighty power above all in doing what? In showing mercy and pity." And based on what we hear and believe about that God, we can ask for his favorable character to be carried out for us. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasures. That's the outcome. That's the outcome Jesus desires for us. Because he's the one who made peace between God and us. And he wants people to receive the benefits of his redeeming work. We should be like those others in Jerusalem, the ones who were hanging on his words, knowing and trusting what he has done, then thinking and acting according to his way of discipleship. And if that is so, then when his great and glorious visitation occurs at the end of this age, then there will be no lamenting over. No weeping over us. Instead, Jesus will welcome us into the heavenly Jerusalem that is never torn down, but always dwells in eternal peace and security. Peace, peace, where it actually exists. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let us together make confession of our faith. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God to very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven
and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
In our prayers, we give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ for bringing our brother Richard Presner to faith and granting him the gift of everlasting life. Richard entered into the age to come this past week, and he will receive the rite of Christian burial on August 20th. We ask God's peace for all his family and for all of us who mourn alongside them. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for Christ Jesus, in whom we receive the things that make for peace. Keep us trusting in him and eagerly expecting his final day of visitation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your name be hallowed among us. Preserve it through pure and right teaching in our churches and in the lives of your children lived according to your word. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your will is for the good of your people. You gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Preserve our families, especially the children of Christian parents, that they may grow in the knowledge of you and of Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, bless Donald and Joshua and all those who govern us in your stead. Keep them from the folly of opposing your word and your church, and give them wisdom to govern justly in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, deliver your servants from every evil of body and soul. Provide for those in need and grant endurance to the afflicted. Restore them to health speedily according to your will. And keep us together in the ark of your church until your final day of visitation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy things that make for peace. The cross of your Son, his resurrection from the dead, your blessed word of forgiveness, the washing in your holy name, and the feast of our Savior's body and blood. Grant us your peace through these means of grace, that we may be your people and dwell with you forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal Lord, you have arranged us as members of one body in Christ Jesus. Free us from jealousy or contempt toward our fellow Christians. Lead us to bestow honor on our weaker brothers, to suffer and rejoice together, and to serve in harmony as those baptized in one Spirit. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We know that these petitions are pleasing to you, Heavenly Father, and that you hear them for the sake of Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I was The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
and
thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Go in the peace of the Lord.
Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ,
true blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
True blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ given for you. My Jesus, Christ is the true blood of Christ shed for you.
My name is the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless you and honor.
The body of Christ,
true blood of Christ, shed.
My name is the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless you and honor.
The body of
true blood of Christ, shed for you.
The body of Christ.
Amen.
Is your party?
The true blood of Christ, shed for you.
The true blood of Christ, shed for you.
Amen.
The true blood of Christ, shed for you.
Christ, the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and bless you.
The
body of Christ,
the
Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and bless you.
The
body of Christ,
the
Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and bless you.
The
body of Christ,
the
Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and bless you.
Depart in peace. Amen.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.